We've been talking about post-resurrection truths this week, and we're going to continue that today with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Hey, Jana.
Yes, it's been an interesting looking at some of the things that happened right after the resurrection.
And you could go on a while just with this, and I love that verse we ended on yesterday where John said, you know, that there was so much more that Jesus did that's recorded. You know, he even goes on to say that all the books in the world couldn't contain.
That's a lot of ministry.
It's a hyperbolic statement, but probably literally true as well.
So much.
Hey, Mike, how are you and Vicki today? Amen. Well, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. And this event that we're going to talk about today actually happened as well on the afternoon or evening of resurrection morning, the first resurrection morning. A lot of, you know, he met with the disciples in the evening, but it's hard to do a minute by minute chronology, but it seems like this, what happened to these disciples on the road to Emmaus, preceded his appearance to his disciples later, because they, at the end, they leave and go and report this. And so we'll read what we're going to do in Luke chapter 24 today is we're going to read a few verses and talk about it in the next few verses and see how far we can get through this this event. Hello, Sister Anne from Kenya.
And Pastor Gary and Susie.
Yes, blessing. Hope you are feeling better today, Pastor Gary. We love you. Speak blessings and healing over you in Jesus' name.
So today we are in Mark 16.
Luke 24.
Oh, that says Mark 16.
Yeah, well, this...
I'm blaming it on
you. Yeah, it's kind of the parallel Mark, Mark 16, 12, and 13. What Mark records may reference what Luke records in Luke 24.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'll just read it.
Luke 24.
There we go. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all those things which had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, you want to stop
here?
Let's stop about it
because there's just so much happening in each verse that I don't want to skip too much.
Okay.
But what's really interesting here to me, what really spoke to me when I was looking at this is how that we get to eavesdrop on a conversation that two guys are having a little later in the day after the reports are coming out that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and so forth. And it's ordinary folks that we get to just drop in on them. Of course, they were apparently part of the band of people who followed Jesus. And another interesting thing that I want to point out is it says their eyes were restrained so they didn't recognize him. So sometimes we may think that, you know, angels or hear Jesus is appearing in a certain way that they can't recognize him. But actually it says his presence caused a restraint upon their earthly vision to not be able to recognize him. So strange things can happen when God's moving, when God's manifesting. And here they're seeing him, but they are not seeing him. We're told here who he is, but they did not recognize at this point of time who he was. Later we'll see their eyes are opened and they're given the ability to recognize, oh, this is the Lord. But I can't help but think, well, why the restraint? Why not just right up front, you know, appear and they recognize it's the Lord? But Jesus has a lot of stuff he's going to teach them and share with them, and then later reveal, hey, you've just been taught by the Lord himself. So that gives rise to, you know, kind of speculate on why the Lord did it that way. That's interesting to me.
It is interesting. Are you ready?
Yeah, we can. Let's read on.
Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to them, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they didn't see."
So these guys are telling us they've heard the report from the women. Mm-hmm. But when the men went, they didn't see him. So you can almost hear the doubt there. And this to me, this section of scripture is kind of like the word around town. What's going on? You know, what are people saying on the streets? How are people referring to this? And isn't it interesting that Jesus said, "What are y'all talking about? What things are you talking about?" And as is always the case, when the Lord asks us a question, mm-hmm. it's not because he's ignorant and seeking information from us. It's just like parents talking to their children. You know, often you ask your things you know and you know well, but you ask your children, you let them begin to articulate it, then you help guide them. And that's part of the discovery process and learning process. And so Jesus is hearing from these guys who have secondhand information about what had happened to him personally. And he still doesn't tell them who he is, but he does go to the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So a little bit of a rebuke there.
Yes. And again, even though he's, as the living word, is standing right before them, he still takes them to the written word to anchor what has happened in what was written, what has happened in what had been prophesied. Mm. And in addition, before it's over, he'll have his own personal testimony. But I just, to me, that is so powerful for we who are believers. You know, yesterday we talked about the occasion when Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." Here, a similar thing is like, if the Word says it, you know, realize everything has happened. The Word said it was going to happen. It happened the way the Word said it would happen. This was part of the scripture. And again, we see the importance from the Lord's perspective here, how important it is that these two disciples on the road to Emmaus anchor all the events that had happened in the context of scripture. And wow, what a challenge to us in our life, in our day. What does the scripture say? Does the scripture speak to this? Hey, I've got this situation going on in my life. What does the Word say? And, you know, if in this circumstance, it was so important for him to lead them to do this. And this, you know, this is what and it says he takes them back to Moses and the prophets. Wouldn't that have been a Sunday school lesson to have been in on?
Yes.
to hear Jesus take the scriptures and exposit them, showing how the scriptures testified as to everything he had just gone through.
Yes, I would love to have heard
Yes, that should cause us to have even a deeper certainty of how of the Word of God, the power of God's Word, and to stake our future on what the Word says. That's what Jesus did. He came to do what the Father sent him to do, and he fulfilled those scriptures. And here he's putting the pieces together for these disciples.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, though, that he felt like they should have had more understanding. He said they were foolish and slow of heart.
Yes.
And it's not the only time Jesus told some of his followers something like that, you know, but they weren't able to put it together, and he graciously helped them put it together. But sometimes we're just a little slower than we ought to be.
That is so true. And there's the internal evidence here of this passage is these disciples were part of the followers. They had probably been on many teaching sessions mm-hmm. that, and those occasions when Jesus just told them, I'm going to die. You know, I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't go. And then, you know, and he plainly told them a couple of times, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. But as we are, you know, we can study the scripture. We can be under teaching. We can be hear sermons. I've had this happen so many times where I'm preaching on a passage mm-hmm. of scripture. I may have preached on 10 times in the years of the ministry, but now I'm finding something that I never saw there before. And it has an application for my life that I never made before. It was always there. So
the Word of God is yes. living, and so it does.
But we are accountable for what we mm-hmm. do understand, what we have received. You know, we're accountable to respond to that. And that may be, you know, when we're not getting it, maybe it's because we're not obeying it.
Mm. Well, it's, you know, he came to them. He's pursuing them, and he's... he knows that they don't get it yet.
Yeah.
But there was still a little bit of a rebuke in that.
But while he's teaching them, something begins right. happening with them. And that as we move into this next mm-hmm. section, it's kind of like, stay with us. Hey, mm-hmm. can you hang out with us a little longer? This is our stopping place, but come on in. Don't go on. Stay with us a little while. And you love it when when the Spirit's moving, and you're learning, you're growing, your eyes are open, you're seeing things. It's like you want more. Mm-hmm. You want more. And we see these disciples like, man, they were all upset when this trip began, trying to make sense of it. But now it's like the pieces are coming together and they're wanting more. And I just pray that over each of our lives today, that this hunger would be stirred and revelation would come to us, and we'd start seeing more clearly and understanding more clearly, and the dots would start connecting, and we'd become hungry and want more, Lord, more. That's what we're seeing here.
And I love it that they weren't offended at his rebuke, because when he explained, he opened the scriptures to them, you know, their spirit was bearing witness with that. So they didn't stop and say, well, he kind of rebuked me there, and I'm
thank God for their humility. Yeah. Humility to me is maintaining a teachable spirit, and particularly when you're someone that you know that they know more than you do. Mm-hmm. Like you're a kindergartner and they're a senior. You know, it's easier. It should be easier for us for someone to correct us when we know, hey, they get this and I don't. So if I'm going to get it, I need to understand what they're saying. And it's obvious as Jesus is putting it together. There's anointing there. They know that this is true. Their spirit's bearing witness. Read those scriptures there, yeah.
Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. So they did say, please, just stay yeah. with us longer. There's no reason for you to go on. The day's almost over, but they wanted to know more.
Now, here's a question. Had they not constrained him to go in, would he have gone in? He'd probably just have kept going. So there's another application for us. There are times when the Lord wants to take us farther. But he needs to be invited. Mm-hmm. I just think there's times that there's opportunities, and we need to invite the Lord. You know, Lord, I really sense your presence. What is it you want here? Let's go. Let's do it. And I've had times in my life like that where I've ran by those promptings mm-hmm. and like, what did I miss? Had I drunk like Moses at the burning bush when he drew his side and went to it? Then he had an encounter similar here. Lord, stay with us. And because he stayed with them, their eyes are opened. And you could go on and read that.
Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them, Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he taught with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?
Vanished.
I know.
Now, in the Greek, what that means is he vanished. Like, whoa. Just like we studied yesterday, he came into a room when all the doors were shut. Here, he just... But notice what it says, their eyes were opened. Their eyes, when he broke the bread. Now, it's important to remember, when he was in the upper room, and he had that Last Supper, it's called the Last Supper because it was the last one. He said, I will not drink this with you again. I'm not, you know, in other words, until I come in my kingdom. It's interesting here, he breaks the bread and he serves them, but he doesn't partake. He's serving them, and then boom, he's gone. And then after that happens, I mean, their hearts are burning, and it's like, man, their cups are running over. We got to tell somebody.
So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how it was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And let's start with that last statement. He was made known to them through the breaking of bread. And I can't help but think, is this an invitation to us every time we do community, I do communion, to enter into a deeper revelation of Jesus? You know, he was made known to us through the breaking of the bread. Also, literally, that when he, as his body was, not his bones, but his body was broken on the cross, it was given for us. That makes possible for us to have an intimate personal relationship with him. So there's a lot of deep truth in this, and we're skimming the surface here, but it's really cool. But they had an encounter and they had to tell somebody. So they go back and they tell
I
those.
I think it's interesting that obviously he had just appeared to them, but they noted to the other 11, he has appeared to Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Lord is risen indeed. It says that those were gathered with them together, saying that. So we're told that it's Cleopas. Mm-hmm. And so here, you know, you wonder, is Simon the other one? You know, we know the 11 in the room, that would have been Simon Peter. That would have been everyone but Judas.
So that is, I don't know all that means, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
I like that when it said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Because, you know, they were saying there was something that was happening when he was opening the word to us. And it was causing us to yearn, to come alive, to have desire, to, you know, I think it was... Because earlier they said we had hoped that he was, you know, let's say we hoped he was going to redeem Israel.
Yeah.
So there was a certain amount of, you know, disappointment and their dreams dashed. But now when he's talking to them, they're like, it's reawakening.
Yeah. There are times in our lives when what we expected the Lord was going to do, it didn't turn out that way. But when we encounter him and we see what he was really doing instead of what we expected to happen, then his way's always best.
Amen.
You know, his way's always best. It's like that I remember years ago hearing that message, I got what I wanted but didn't want what I got. You know, sometimes the very things we're wanting is not really what we'd want if we knew what to want. Nobody wanted to see Jesus die on the cross, but none of us could have been reconciled had he not. Mystery of our redemption. And the wells are deep that we can draw from all the days of our life and will enjoy throughout eternity. I pray that you know Jesus. And he met with these two disciples out in the countryside. And may you have God encounters as you are out and about living your lives for him. Now, we got the weekend upon us. We'll be meeting at Grace House. We'll have an 8 a.m. outside service in the parking area. That's an abbreviated service. At 9 a.m., we'll have an indoor service. And at 10:30 a.m., we'll have an indoor service. The mask mandate, we've been having you wear your mask to your seated. Obviously, people are encouraged to still do that, but that's no longer mandated. So things are loosening up a little bit. And more than anything, we just want to see the Holy Spirit move, Jesus glorified, and for people to be protected and to be well and whole. And we pray that for each of you on this day.
Have a wonderful weekend in Jesus' name.
We love you all.
See you Sunday.